In addition, high humidity levels will give a mid-summer feel to the air mass. Dry conditions are expected to persist over much of the Midwest and Ohio Valley into midweek. High temperatures today will reach the upper 80s to mid-90s across the Midwest. Lows tonight will drop into the low 60s and low 70s. The forecast for East Central Illinois this afternoon, mostly sunny and hot, with a high of 93, a south wind from 10 to 15 miles per hour. Tonight, mostly clear, the low 72, the wind from the southwest at 5 to 10 miles per hour. Tomorrow, sunny, hot, and humid, with a high in the mid-90s and heat index readings around 100. The wind will be from the southwest at 10 to 15 miles per hour. Tomorrow night, mostly clear, with a low in the low 70s and a south wind from 5 to 10 miles per hour. Wednesday, the heat continues. Look for a high in the mid-90s and heat index readings around 100. Wednesday night, partly cloudy with a low in the low 70s. Thursday, partly sunny with a chance of showers and thunderstorms and a high in the upper 80s. At noon Central Time, temperatures across Illinois and Indiana ranged from the 80s into the low 90s. At Rockford, it was 89. O'Hare Airport, 84. Bloomington, 87. Peoria, 88. Mattoon, 85. At South Bend, 81. Lafayette, 85. Indianapolis, 82. And it was 84 degrees at Terre Haute. At noon at Willard Airport, it was sunny. The wind was out of the southwest at 14. The temperature, 89 degrees. The dew point, 68, giving us a heat index of 93. The relative humidity, 49%. The barometric pressure, 30.01 and steady. And at 12:39, 89 degrees in Urbana on the campus of the University of Illinois. This is the Afternoon Magazine. I'm Celeste Quinn. The Illini Union Bookstore is holding its second annual Off the Page Summer Book Festival this week. This year, the festival celebrates authors and books with ties to the region. This afternoon, the subject will be Robert Allerton and the lands he cultivated, then left for the public good as parks. Maureen Holtz and her husband Michael Holtz call these places Allerton's Paradises, and that is the title of their new book featuring photographs of the properties in central Illinois and in Hawaii. Michael is the photographer. Maureen wrote the text. They'll be in the author's corner of the Illini Union Bookstore this afternoon from 5 to 6 for a talk and book signing. Maureen is also the co-author of a biography of Robert Allerton, Robert Allerton, The Private Man and the Public Gifts. Good to see you again.
Hi, Celeste.
So for someone who has yet to visit Robert Allerton Park in neighboring Piatt County, what would you say to recommend it?
Well, if they went right now, they'd see the peonies. And the peonies are incredible. It just goes on and on. But, of course, then there's the statues. The statues are wonderful. And every time you walk, there's just something new to see, especially cultivated by the gardeners, but the statues don't move too often, but sometimes they do.
Yeah, sometimes they rearrange things like Robert Allerton did.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. And the park in Hawaii, how would you describe that?
Just luscious. You have to go on a docent-led tour because they're very particular about things. You can go to the visitor center, and then they put you on a little shuttle and take you down this mountainside and into the property, and you wander around. And only on, I believe it's Saturdays, there's a 2 or 3 hour tour, kind of like Gilligan's Island, where you can go to the actual house and have hors d'oeuvres and watch the sun go down over the ocean.
Yeah. Well, you said, I think you said luscious, or did you, how did you say?
Luscious.
Luscious. And I'm thinking now of Michael's photographs of some of the plants.
Oh, yes.
And the flowers.
It's incredible.
They are so exotic looking to,
yes,
to us.
Yes, and there's this one picture we have in the book with these, I'm not even sure if they're orchids or what. I couldn't quite get the names of everything. And they're just purple and purple and pink and white. And they were just sprouting everywhere. Every time we go, it's there's different flowers that we see. A lot of heliconia. A lot of birds of paradise, but and orchids just sitting in the middle of a tree.
And Robert Allerton immediately knew that this was a very special place,
right?
And went to great lengths to conserve and preserve.
Right, right. He tried not to bulldoze too much. He wanted to try and work around, but he did when he was clearing the land and trying to uncover things. He found old fields where they planted taro roots and so forth. And he had a stone cutter that he employed to help create walkways up and down the little hills and in crevices. It's quite remarkable. Mm.
Robert Allerton was the son of a millionaire, and he had hopes of being an artist.
Mm-hmm.
And when that didn't turn out as he hoped, he turned his attention to the land his father, Sam, gave him in Piatt County. And this would have been the early 20th century, right?
Would have been about 1895, 1897, thereabouts.
And how did he go about developing that property?
Well, he the first thing he insisted on, he wanted the proper house. And his father footed the bill for that and said, oh, sure, no problem. And in those days, in 1900, it cost, the final bill was about $50,000 for the house itself. And then he stuck around throughout April to approximately November, December time frame, always kind of telling the gardeners what to do and what he wanted to have done. What walkways he wanted created first, what gardens he wanted created first. He'd disappear from time to time up to Chicago to have to meet with his friends. But he had a lot of his friends come down, and his Chicago rich friends loved coming down because it was quite a journey to get down the dusty roads from Chicago and enjoy his hospitality.
You include some of Robert's correspondence with an artist by the name of Ellen Emmett.
Right.
What insights into Robert do you get by reading those letters?
Well, it was very interesting because we came across those letters almost at the end of the first book, the biography, by talking to her granddaughter. There's 28 letters that Robert wrote to Ellen in 1901. One in 1902. And it starts off with, "Dear Miss Emmett," and it's very obvious that he's commissioning her to paint a portrait of his father and also of him. And he's all excited about meeting her up at Lake Geneva, where his father had his summer house. And he just couldn't wait to show her his place down here. The next letter doesn't start, that I found, commenced 6 weeks later, and he's progressed from "Dear Miss Emmett" to "Dear Ellen," and it's "Affectionately yours." And then the letters progress over the rest of the year, you know, "All my love," "Yours forever," that sort of stuff, and things like "You never think of me when you're not around," or something. And you see a real sense of vulnerability of the man. You got to remember, he was almost deaf. They didn't have movies to go to. They had operas, but those were mostly in Chicago. So I think he was very lonely, and he was looking for someone to share his life and hadn't yet quite decided. I don't think he quite realized what he was looking for in a love match. And I just get the feeling that he thought he was in love with her. Of course, then when I read some letters he wrote to a man later, I realized, oh, no, that wasn't love. He's very vulnerable, and he's very lonely, and he's worried about the drought that season and not having any money and not being successful. So all the doubts that this young man's going through, he's pouring on these letters.
Yeah. What can you tell us about why he wanted to conserve these paradises and put them into leave them for the public good?
Well, he loved art, obviously, and he collected some of these pieces he collected for the Art Institute. For example, the Adam, the original, is in the Art Institute, not that they're exhibiting it at the moment. And he just loved collecting art of any kind and didn't know where else to put it except out on his property, I think, so he could look at it. And he liked to create little escape for people to wander across. He would wander for hours himself on his own property, and I think he just loved coming across these statues, and he would move them around from time to time. Of course, then when he moved to Hawaii, he started the same thing and brought many of the statues to Kauai, but he couldn't bring them all. And actually, when he gave the property in Piatt County to the University of Illinois, he even said he didn't really care if they tore down the house, but don't move the statues. Mm. But then he realized they had to move the statues. He wasn't too thrilled when the Lost Garden, the pavilion that is at what is now called the Lost Garden, was torn down. Well, actually, it wasn't him. It was John. He was long dead by then. He liked people appreciating, I think, what he collected.
Mm. There we've got to leave it. Unfortunately, we're out of time. But if you have yet to get over to Piatt County, it's so close, and it's such a wonderful place. Do it. It has been named one of the 7 wonders of Illinois, and it is one of the most beautiful places that I've been to in the United States.
Yes, I agree.
So there we'll leave it. And we want to remind you that a talk and signing will happen this afternoon from 5 to 6 o'clock at the Illini Union Bookstore at 809 South Wright Street in Champaign. The bookstore is holding its 2nd annual off-the-page Summer Book Festival this week. And this afternoon, the subject will be Robert Allerton, and Maureen Holtz and her husband Michael will be there in the author's corner to talk about Allerton's paradises and sign books.
Thanks, Celeste.
Thank you, Maureen.
For a snapshot of life in East Central Illinois, take an audio trip along Route 150. We'll supply the vehicle.
Just keep your faith and keep going. That's all you can do.
The people along 150 face the same issues, concerns, and joys of life we all face.
This is home. This is home. This is home. Yeah,
listen all this month for stories from our trip, from rail trails and dirt tracks to churches, stores, and farms. Life on Route 150.